So let's start this off with a 416 fire update and give folks an idea of how this fire is progressing and how you guys are handling the fight.
Okay, that's a lot. So we'll start with the update. So the update is it's a little over 30,000 acres right now. I think 30,076. We're running at 15% containment. Remember, containment is the percentage of the perimeter that is completely safe, done, burned, black, and we can be fairly assured that nothing's going to cross over that or move from that. We have 1,056 personnel working the fire right now. That's a chunk of folks out there, a lot of boots on the ground, a lot of folks in the air. And let's see, so updates on the fire. So right now, we've got a couple things happening. I'm sure you've all heard that we've got folks being let back in to Rockwood and Glacier Club. It's actually everyone north of Honeyville is open to come back in right now, and they are still under pre-evacuation in that area. So, the fire's not completely moved out, but we feel pretty secure that that's a good contained area there. So the 550 corridor is looking fantastic. We get down over to the southern edge into Hermosa, working on shoring up the line from around Hermosa on the north side of Hermosa on the west side of Hermosa. We're pretty convinced that that's going to turn black tonight, and that'll be an area of containment. Haven't had a lot of movement there. It's cooling down, and the command is pretty excited about that. Then we move down to the southern edge, and that's the stuff I think that most people in town are seeing and are concerned with right now. That's the fire line that's moving down False Creek. The good news is that in that area, we've lost no structures, which is great.
It's great news.
We're keeping the fire up on that ridge on the west side of False Creek, if you can picture that in your heads. We're doing backburns on the houses there. We've got sprinkler systems set up. It's just amazing to see what's up there. We have these, they drop off these porta tanks. They call them pumpkins because they're orange and they look like little pumpkins with their heads chopped off. They fill them with water on the structures that are, the most challenging to protect, as far as close to trees and close to the wildland urban interface. And then they have a gas generator next to it. They lay out hoses, they lay out sprinklers, and set up their own water protection system. Just absolutely really cool to watch. So they're working on cutting hand line down on top of that ridge. Today their goal is to finish that hand line. They're going to come all the way down False Creek on the, would be the west side of the road. And then that when they hit Junction Creek there, 171, that hand line is turning right to the west, and then they're cutting hand line behind all the houses there up to where you enter the trailhead area, the actual Forest Service. So they are working on that. So we've got a nice hand line. Hand line's, somewhere around 2, 3, 4 feet in width, where they're basically scraping off all the fuels left and right as they're moving. So it's a soil break. There's nothing in there that's flammable. And then they'll have the Sawyer crews are running the chainsaws. They're moving with them, and they're taking out, the lighter mid fuels and clearing that out. So these guys, as teams, just move down the line and really transform areas. It's really beautiful to watch.
Is that all by hand, or do they have cats?
Nope, those are hand lines. We have dozer lines also where we're bringing a cat, but this is all hand cut. This is a team of 20, 22, 23 folks, and it's really interesting. So it's a progression. So the goal is that a hand team, just they keep moving. So if I'm on the front of a hand team, I make a couple scrapes, and I take a step, I make a couple scrapes, I take a step, the next guy does a couple, the next guy does a couple, the next girl does a couple, and by the end, we've got the line, and that's done as you progress. So you don't just go to a section and then move on. It's like a caterpillar just
moving
down the road. It's fascinating. So that's that southern edge. The fire line above Junction Creek is somewhere around a mile and a half away, depending on where you look there. On that southern edge, then, if you can picture that in your head, north of Junction Creek, they've been painting that with retardant yesterday afternoon and today from the sky. So the goal is to have a really nice, big, strong break in there and keep it from moving south of Junction Creek.
So it sounds like you guys have made lots of progress on 550.
Yep.
Keeping the fire on the west side of 550.
Yes, sir.
And it sounds like you're also working, you got crews working on the north,
yep,
trying to protect Purgatory and those areas. But it sounds like the biggest threat right now is on the south. And so a lot of resources are on the south,
yep,
south part of the fire. There was some evacuations and some pre-evacuation notices for not just homes, but a couple of businesses, apparently.
Yeah. We're definitely, you know, it's expanding as that fire moves. Again, we should see, hopefully, if the plan goes well, we're going to see that fire get up to that fire line, and it's not going to have any more fuel, so it's going to burn itself out. And then we'll start seeing some reversals in that area.
That sounds like pretty good news. This is a lot better story than last Thursday, I have to say. Yeah. It sounds like you guys have made a lot of progress.
Yeah, it is good news. I don't want to give a lot of false hope, and certainly know that this is a huge fire. We're at 30,000 acres right now. The fire is only 15% contained. So what we're doing right now is putting a lot of time and energy with the crews that are out there, those 1,056 folks, and making sure that as it's nearing, you know, as it's nearing structures where people live and have their lives stored, that we're protecting those. So up north, you know, where it's northwest and it's out in the wilderness area, that's burning, and it's going to continue to burn. There's no real firefighting efforts up there. Like you said, what we've done, however, is up just south of Berg at Castle Rock, we've cut a hand line, the crews have cut a hand line from 550 up on top of Castle Rock, and then they've cut a dozer line all the way around the south side of Berg, and basically past Lift 8, then they cut up towards Hermosa Meadows Road there. So that's a big old fire break there, and it definitely expecting that to be a good hold.
Let's switch gears and talk about the Borough Fire. There's another fire burning, and I know people over on the west side of La Plata's in Montezuma County, up in Dolores Way.
Yeah.
You know, they're obviously very concerned about the Borough Fire. Give us an update on the Borough Fire.
Borough Fire, as of this morning, is at 2829, so 2,829 acres, 0% containment. It's still in that kind of Bear Creek drainage. It's a real tough area to do really anything there. We have one Type 1 hand crew. Type 1 hand crew is about 20 folks. We've got three Type 2 hand crews, two engines, one dozer, and one water tender out there. So they're working the fire. They're taking care of spots. They're trying not to let it spread on that southern edge. And a lot of it on that fire is really just kind of, again, fire management. There's not a lot of what we call values out there, resources, houses. So it's managing the fire.
No property in danger on that fire?
There's no structures that are threatened on that fire that I'm aware of, yeah.
Great. And, by the way, there is going to be a borough fire meeting in Dolores tonight at 6 o'clock. Are you going to that? Do you go to that, Scott?
I will not. I'm not. That is under the Type 1 team, but it's a separate division over there.
Yeah, so there is a meeting in Dolores at the community hall tonight. I think it's 6 o'clock. I'm trying to track this down. Yeah, 6 o'clock at the Dolores Community Center. A public meeting on the Borough Fire for those that want to keep track of that stuff.
Yeah, and I will say that the public meetings are a fantastic place to go and get the full, basically it's an operational briefing. We do the same things. We give the whole picture of what's going on. What are the crews doing? You know, what's the forecast? What are they expecting the fire to do? So it's a great opportunity to get a lot of good information, maybe give you a little peace of mind with that.
And the next 416 fire public meeting is when?
I don't think we have another community meeting scheduled. We had one up in Silverton today, and I'll keep you updated on if we get one set up.
So let's, you know, one of the things I'm kind of fascinated by is the air support and kind of how they manage that. You know, whether it's the water or whether it's talk about the air support and what kind of the various different substances that get dropped on this fire and who drops it. I see the helicopters grabbing buckets of water, but the planes have retardant. Talk a little bit about how they strategize around air support.
Yeah, it's pretty. That is absolutely. That's probably one of the most fascinating things to watch from the ground, especially up in an area where the air show is going on. Because watching, you know, 4, 5, 6 helis and a spot plane, and then the main slurry bomber all working together in tandem. It's kind of like a dance up in the air, and I'm amazed with that. So what we have, we've got basically three types of substances that we use. We use water. Water is for putting out fire. So we're working a ridge, like for instance, we're working that False Creek Ridge. That's going to spot, and it's going to pop over, it's going to move down, it's going to catch something on fire. We call in air support, the heli comes in, they bring either a bucket or they bring the Chinook, and they drop a load and stop that little hot spot from spreading. So that's what the helis are doing with the water. They're looking at fire, they're putting out fires. The second substance that we're using is actually, it's a gel, it's a polymer that we add to the water. This was just started to be incorporated yesterday. Makes the water heavier and a little bit stickier. Like, for instance, most fire departments, our fire department, we use foam in our water system. So if we're fighting a structure fire, we add foam, basically detergent. It gives more surface area to the water, and the fire thinks that we have more water than we really do.
And it's sticky. You're saying it's sticky.
So it's sticky, yeah.
It'll stick to the structure or to...
Right. Well, if you think about it, if I take a hose and I'm out there watering my lawn and I turn the hose off, the water eventually goes away. It either goes downhill or it soaks into the ground. If I mix a bunch of bubbles with that and spray it out on my lawn, it sticks around a while, right? So that's the second thing is the gel. They're doing that specifically with the helis out there to get the water closer to the ground and make it last a little bit longer and not to evaporate as much. And then the third substance that we use is the slurry. That's the red stuff you see.
Yep.
That's typically in our air war going on here, dropped by the airplanes. We got three different size airplanes that are running that. I'm sure you all have seen the big DC-10 out there. That's pretty amazing to watch. And then we've got the lighter four prop planes and then we've got the single engine air attack plane or tanker planes. So they're doing slurry. Slurry is for prevention of movement. So we're not looking to extinguish the fire with the slurry. We want to put that ahead of the fire somewhere where we think the fire is going. And when it gets that retardant, it doesn't like to burn. Now, the key to using the slurry, and we get this, I get this question a lot, is, well, why aren't you using it just everywhere and put the whole thing out? Well, the slurry has to get to the ground. And so if we're in a really heavily forested area, slurry doesn't do a whole lot. So we like to slurry a rock face or a face that's a sage or scrub. Then we get that slurry to get close to the ground and really does act like an impenetrable border for the fire. Sorry about that. I'm getting tired.
I bet you're tired. Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah, it's a fascinating strategy to watch the command team.
Oh yeah,
use all these different resources. Whether it's the heavy equipment or the firefighters or the planes to manage this fire. I'm sure there's a lot of science behind that.
There's a lot of science and there's a lot of expertise. Just folks putting in a lot of hours, whether it's in the air or on the ground or at command structure. And the other thing to know about the aircraft, and sometimes you see them and sometimes you don't, the fixed-wing aircraft, the ones that are doing this big slurry attacks, they run really slow with a lot of weight. So any extra crosswinds, any big updrafts coming from the fire, they really have to make a lot of different decisions on what they can do. The helicopters have a lot smaller space that they can operate in. They can operate in a lot rougher conditions, but those big planes, they get punched around by wind.
So let's talk about something that might complicate the fire. Help the fire.
Don't go there.
Here we go.
Oh no.
So we gotta talk about
here
it.
Come the worms.
Because there was a tropical storm Bud moving north, and the National Weather Service expects it to begin impacting the region probably Friday night, Saturday morning, and they've got a flash flood watch in effect for Southwest Colorado, and they've highlighted that burn area as a potential place for destructive flash floods.
Right.
And I hear that, and I start thinking, we've all been sitting here. I don't know if you've been listening to KSUT, but we've been playing rain songs.
Yeah, I know. I heard that.
For
that was
weeks.
That was great.
And doing everything we can to try to will some rain.
Yeah.
And now it might get here,
right.
But it's a double-edged sword. It sounds to me like
it is.
Like it could help the firefighters, but it could also create some problems. Can you talk a little bit about kind of some of the good and the bad with some pretty heavy rains coming through here?
Yeah, so, I mean, the good news, the overall good news is we've all been waiting for moisture for a long time, significant moisture. This signals the beginning of the monsoon season where we've got those tropical depressions forming in the South Pacific on a regular basis. It's warming up down there. Those storms have a northeast movement, and with them they bring a lot of moisture, and that's the moisture that reaches us in the monsoon seasons. So that's good news is we're on track to start getting more consistent precipitation. That's really good because we all know, if we just kind of put this fire a little bit out of our mind and get back to it's still really dry out there and the fuel load is still really high, and that's why you still see these closures coming down, the closures on city lands and city open space. We just don't want to take the chance of another fire get going. Wow. Anyway, that being said, let's move back to mud. So with the flash floods, we always talk about with disasters like this, that the fire is certainly impactful and it comes and goes, But boy, those mudslides and debris slides go for a while, because what we're doing is we're burning off all the things with roots out there that are holding the soil down. And now when we get an inch of rain at 8,000 feet, and that's hitting three or four drainages that all come into, say, Hermosa Creek, that's a lot of moisture moving down. And now we have all that moisture moving down that used to be going through rocks and going through canals and really nice, you know, controlled spaces. Now it's moving on open burn. So yeah, it's definitely something to be really be thinking about. And if you're in a drainage area, this is, you know, probably time to just highlight in your head what the possibilities are. Know your entrance and exit. You know, if your driveway comes off a drainage and that's your only way in and out, then you may want to be thinking about that. I don't want to be doom and gloom, but this, you know, if it rains a lot, we are going to get mud. We're going to get mud and debris. That's just the way it is.
Sooner or later, obviously.
Sooner or later, exactly, right.
You know, that's going to happen. The question is it going to happen this weekend? And, of course,
yeah. Of
course, you're in the middle of fighting a 30,000-acre fire. So that could create some complications for the firefighters.
Yeah, same thing there. So we got Falls Creek, for instance, and let's take that as an example. You know, we've got the Falls Creek watershed. If that road gets pinched off on the end from a debris slide, for instance, then all the crews that are up there working on the fire don't have a good exit. Now, we do have a fire exit cut on the north side of Falls Creek, but just as an example, it's the same thing. And if there's one road in and that road's the only way in and out, we need to make sure that we've got protection on that so we can get crews out. They're still fighting a fire. That fire's still rolling. Even with the rains coming in, the rains go away, the fire's going to pick back up. I mean, we need significant rainfall to really snuff this guy out.
We'll see what happens.
You know, the good news, you know, and we live in a great community. And I'll tell you, the outpouring of love and support for the firefighters and for the crews and for the incident command team and the folks who are doing the work right now is absolutely amazing. And I am 100% sure that you know, if and when we get some impact from rains, that we'll have the same support. We'll have folks out there helping, and we'll do what we need to do to get it taken care of and take care of Durango.
Well, you know, I don't think we could plumb the depth of gratitude that people have to the firefighters and everybody that's out there trying to protect structures and manage this fire. It's an incredible job, and I think everybody in this community and certainly over on the other side of the mountain are thankful that you guys are here and that the Type 1 team is here and taking this responsibility on, because it's a huge responsibility.
It is, and I want to make sure that you know, wherever you are right now, if you're in the Southwest Colorado, if you're in the listening area of KSUT, we are still in severe drought, exceptional drought, and severe fire danger. So when we see things like this happening, when we see the 550 corridor opening up, when we hear that, hey, we're making good progress on this edge of the fire and it's feeling better, I don't want to get complacent right now. We still have a 30,000-acre fire, and we still have lots of areas that the bottom line is that if there are another fire starts in our area, we don't have the resources to go and attend to that fire right now. Everyone is maxed out. So be careful out there. Be following the rules. Keep away from the charcoal grills. Don't be going into the open spaces. All we need is another month. And I do believe that stuff's going to be opening back up when we get more rains in.
Great, Scott. Thank you very much. Yeah, I know. It's a wait and see. But with or without rain and precipitation, you guys are really done an incredible job.
Thank you.
No structures have been harmed. No loss of life. No
major injuries.
No major injuries. And this is a big, big fire.
Yep.
And so congratulations to everyone over there, fighting and managing this fire, because it's been a really exceptional effort, we're all impressed and thankful, and keep up the good work.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, all right, Scott, who knows? We might be talking to you next Thursday. We'll see.
All right.
We'll see how this goes. We sure appreciate you coming out this afternoon and giving us this latest update.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Scott.
You bet.